welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
You know, I want to pick up this morning on a sound mind. A sound mind. Before I do, let me say that it's really important, and I will tell you why I believe it's important. But while I'm ministering on the sound mind, and it's so important for every believer to have a sound mind, for every person, there's a greater miracle than it. It precedes it, and it's being born again, knowing we are born again, knowing that we are new creation people. It affects the way we think. It affects the way we live. It affects our stance. We no longer compromise with the world. We've been purchased. Hallelujah. We've been purchased. I'm not my own. You're not your own if you're born again. You belong to another. We were singing some great words this morning. We belong to another. And so I want to say the greatest miracle is being born again. If you're not saved, if you're sitting on the fence, if you are saved and you're still sitting on the fence, in other words, you're not allowing the life and the Word of God to touch your life, to cause your life to change, then I want to encourage you to grab hold of this greatest miracle and all of its fullness. I do want to talk, as I've said, about a sound mind, and I'm going to do that now. If I look back in my life as a Christian at to what has been the biggest challenge that I've ever been confronted with, in my Christian walk, it's been with trying to deal with the circumstances of life that the enemy has brought my way. I have found every time that attack of the enemy through the circumstance into my life targets every time, this is without fail, targets my mind. And when it does that, when it has done that, that's the thing I found is the hardest walk I've had at any time through my Christian life. You can't lie down under it, otherwise it will totally control you and you will be left a loser. I found that. You have to be able to handle this. And the only way that we can handle it is take back control of the way we think. And that's why I consider the truth of a sound mind so important to us. So many Christians, circumstances come, grabs their mind, and it paralyzes your thinking. You can't function the way you should. You are functioning the way the enemy wants you to. He is distracting you from everything of God, and he's taking you over here into this byway meadow and catches you with the continual thoughts of utter defeat. What am I going to do? How are we going to get through this? And he paralyzes you spiritually. That's my experience. And I think if you're true, you'll know it's yours. Some will talk about it more than others. I may not. But the bottom line is, that's what happens. And how we get through it affects our future. Because God's got a plan for your life and mine if we're born again. It's not just a destiny plan. It is a destiny plan. God's got an end of things for us, and he knows the span of our life, and he knows what he has planned and purposed for you and I to complete and fulfill during our lifespan. It's not just that. It's that every day the plan and purpose of God can work out in my life, and it doesn't become mundane, and certainly it doesn't become one that's controlled by circumstances. Because when any one of your days or mine are controlled by circumstances, God is not going to have the glory through my life. I promise you that, and you probably know it. And we have to come to a place where we come to terms with that and say, oh Lord, what do I do? Before we read the scriptures, let me remind you. Well, let's read the scripture. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to read, from verse 3. This is Paul writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. Whether he led him to the Lord, and it would seem that he did, he hadn't just led him to the Lord and left him. He was teaching him, training him, and he was fathering him in the faith, if you like. Verse 3, I thank God, he says to Timothy, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with the joy, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind is a mind that's been delivered, praise God. It's been protected. It's been recovered by God. That sound mind has been given to us of God, by God. Thought comes to me as to our mind. The key to having a sound mind is believing the promise is enough to do them. It's not enough to know the word or even speak the word. You've got to do the word. You've got to do it. You will not get a sound mind just because you think it and read it. Knowing the truth and not doing it will take you nowhere. Speaking the truth and not doing it will not take you anywhere. But what will take you somewhere is thinking the truth, speaking the truth, and doing the truth. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made, and we receive the salvation or the deliverance of God. But in the book of Philippians, it says this of Jesus. And I remind you the circumstances. Jesus was now just a man like you and I. Born of a virgin, but he was a man like you and I. He had left his deity in heaven. He wasn't any more able than you and I to walk with God or to resist the enemy. He was a man just like you and I. He was an earth man with all the feelings, all the emotions, all the temptations that you and I go through. And yet the Bible says in Philippians, it says that the Paul writing to the church at Philippi said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say this, that he who thought it not robbery to be equal to God. Think about that. What he's simply saying is, now that I'm born again, now that I'm born again to you and I, that I'm born again, I can think the way Jesus did. I can think in terms that Jesus did. I have the same ability that Christ had. Now, because Christ made not only the way for me, but Christ gave me that Spirit of God, which is now living inside of me, the Holy Ghost. I can do all things through Christ. I guarantee this, you don't do any real thing without it coming, being a thought first. And if your mind, if your thoughts are not right, if you come against an obstacle that the enemy has put before you, it seems absolutely impossible, but you know when you speak boldly and say, there is nothing impossible with God. Why will I be stumped? Why will I be stopped? You have to think it. You have to speak it. And you have to act it out. You have to, yes, the world would say you're a hypocrite. Walk like there's not a thing wrong with your circumstances. Walk around life saying to yourself, praise God, I am delivered and I am kept by the power of God. That's the Christian walk. The world would say that's hypocrisy. You've probably heard me talk about a precious brother in the Lord who was a minister and a pastor. And he had a very severe ear mastoid, and it was giving him terrible pain. And I prayed with him, and I declared the word over him. Said, "You're healed. You know you're healed." You see, healing in that sense is not a practical thing; it's a spiritual thing first. And there was this man of God saying, "I'm not." I said, "Declare you're healed." I wasn't asking him to say it because I'd prayed for him. I was asking him to say it because that's what the Word of God says. By the stripes that Jesus bore on his body, you and I are healed. I was asking him to confess it according to the Word first. But he, like you and most of us, we confess what we feel. And he couldn't do that. And he said, but John, it's not... I'm not healed. And he says, if I said I was, I'd be being a hypocrite. Oh, could you believe that? How often have you and I maybe said that same thing? Because we go by our feelings rather than the Word of God. And so we have to get a renewed mind. We have to somehow get into that place where Paul spoke of Jesus, though a man without his glory, he was able to declare that he had the same mind of God. Let this mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who didn't think it was robbery to be, listen to this, equal with God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this. I am born again. I am hid in Christ. I am hid in Christ. And in Christ, the Bible says, I am in God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God wants us to have a renewed mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is that comes along. I'm not saying that's easy. You grow in it, but you've got to start. You've got to start. Probably, I don't know, probably 30 years ago, almost surely 30 years ago, this man couldn't have talked the way I'm talking. Well, I've had a journey. And praise God, that journey has thankfully been, I've been accompanied on that journey with this word. This word is a lamp to my feet. Shows me where to place them, how to walk and what to avoid, and to you. And it's a light to my path, and to you. Ignore it at our peril. Pay no heed to it at our cost. But embrace it. And use it. Hallelujah. To your deliverance and absolute blessing. You and I, if you're born again, I remind you, are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. He has conquered sin. We sang it this morning. Sin and death and hell. Hallelujah. Did you know where he is today? He's alive in me. He's alive in me. Do you walk down the street with that sort of confidence and sensitivity? I am not somebody else. I am a born again, spirit-filled child of God. That has to start here. It has to start there in your thinking. And it slowly trickles down and just becomes part of your whole being. That doesn't make you proud or superior. It gives you that sort of spring in your step and that peace of knowing who you are in God. You can't give that to somebody else. You can only example it, walk the example, as this morning. I'm endeavoring to share. I haven't even gotten to the scriptures yet, but endeavoring to share the way of it. I challenge and encourage every one of you that's listening to me this morning, don't just give me your ears for a moment or two. Let this go this way and let it go this way into this and in your spirit, man. Let it go there. Start working on it. Until you do that, let me put it this way. You can today, in this place, hear what I'm saying. Service finishes, we go out, and you can go out there and leave what I've said in this place. Or you can go out conscious of what's been said and the word that's been shared, and start to apply it to any present situation, circumstance, and slowly increase it to everyday living. Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. I want to remind you just quickly, I'm not going to get very far this morning, a backdrop to this. We've read that Timothy became a son in the faith, as it were, to Paul. Paul was his mentor, if you like, his spiritual father. He laid hands upon him and part of the Holy Spirit and direction. And Paul had sent him to Ephesus, this young man, just a young man. You could well say he was a novice to some degree, but the Bible says he was a man of faith. He had faith. Hallelujah. Faith is the great commodity that every one of us have got once we're born again. But whether we use it or not is the key. Faith. And he knew he had faith. And he left him at Ephesus, or sent him to Ephesus, to birth the young church, to pastor the young church that was there. What he was presenting to the people of Ephesus, which was a place of a great challenge to any Christian, especially any pastor, the state of immorality and unbelief that existed there. We won't go down that road. But this young pastor was sent there. And in that set of circumstances, he found himself, and Paul became aware of it, in very difficult times. Mad Nero, because he was mad, the ruler of the land there, he was mad. And he would no doubt have sent his henchmen out there to do whatever needs to be done to get rid of this young Timothy. And hence this letter. And there's Paul writing this letter. Do you know, by the way, where Paul was when Paul's writing this great letter of encouragement? It was in the bastion of all bastions. He was in prison in Rome. There he was. And here he is in prison, knowing not what fate is in front of him, experiencing the hardship and the cruelty of the moment in which he was there. And he takes pen and paper and he writes this letter of great encouragement to his son in the faith. Listen to what he says again. He says to him, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. I want to tell you the Holy Ghost is present within every born-again believer in this place. You are not alone. The Spirit of God is in you. You know, there's an old saying, it's no good having a dog and barking for it. Why would you and I try to do something? Why would we panic when we've got the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who is a person, not just a feeling, not just an emotion, not just a concept, not something just that we have to try and work our minds around. You don't work it around with your mind. You accept it in your heart by faith. I'm Spirit-filled, praise God. The Holy Spirit is alive in me. Why would you and I, with the Holy Spirit living in us, cower? Why wouldn't we stand upright and take hold of this sharp two-edged sword, which the Word of God is, able to divide between soul and spirit, separating us from the soul of man, the emotions that stir us, and getting hold of and releasing the anointing of the Spirit of God who's inside of us, and acting totally differently. It comes all through the mind. And he says to him, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's this young man on his own, trying to run the church, not just a nice church like you guys, but the young church that's come out of heathenism. It's not a Christian place, it's a heathen place. And this young man is out there pastoring these that have come through and sharing the gospel, and threats all over him. What did he say to this young man? He said, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. But the spirit of power and the spirit of love. Never forget what you have, who you are. You are loved by the greatest. You're empowered by the strongest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the Holy Spirit lives in you and me. He's not just some second-rate God's person that God sent along for you and me. He is the executive of the Godhead. In him is endowed all the power, all the authority, all that's necessary to do anything, anytime, any place. Wherever God was in the beginning, with nothing before him, and now standing there, and he said, let there be, the Holy Spirit went out and fulfilled what God had said. That's who is living in me. That's who is living in you. Hallelujah. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, that's the Holy Ghost. The spirit of love, which is God. And all of that is wrapped up, listen to it, in one place, a sound mind or otherwise. It's all here. God knows it. I've shared with you, we've looked at the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians, the tripart nature of man. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And that's part of the spirit man, don't forget. And he lives in a body. Don't forget it. So you and I, this house that I'm in is just where I live. I'm a spirit being, and I have this soul, and it's through this soul that a spirit functions. And the functioning of that spirit, whatever that spirit is, through my soul is what's resulted in my body, in my natural daily life. Is that okay? Yeah? So I am a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is a mind, will, and emotions. You have a body you live in. You see, our body is our daily living is the fruit of our thinking. That's what I want to say to you, I guess. Our daily living is the fruit of our thinking. Yeah. I just want to stress the fact that we have been delivered completely. We have to realize that. There is no threat. You know, we sing it with gusto. Again, we sang it this morning. We sing these truths with gusto, but what happens when the enemy comes in like a flood? Are we no longer saved? Is the Holy Spirit no longer living inside of me? Have the promises of God suddenly lost their power and their ability to accomplish? No, none of those things have changed. So what makes the difference between one person and another? One believer who is a believer, born again, and who acts out the word. In other words, believes the word enough to live it, to speak it, to think it. What's the difference between that person and another Christian who doesn't do that? It's simply a person who doesn't do that is a person that has not renewed their minds. They think the way they always thought, but they're a new creation now. They need to start thinking about what does that mean? I'm a new creation. It means I'm not who I was. I am not restricted as I used to be. I am a new creation. Old things, old things, old things. have passed away, and all things have become new. What are those all things? They're all the things you and I couldn't do before we were saved. We were totally at the mercy of Satan. We were totally under his control. Fear leapt inside of us every time what seemed to be an impossible set of circumstances or a situation arose. Fear gripped us. But when we became born again, we became somebody else. Hallelujah. You know the result, you know the reason that the enemy is able to control so many of our lives who are Christians? It's because we have not renewed our mind. When we were born again by the Holy Spirit, we let our mind carry on thinking the way it used to think. So we think the way the world thinks. I'm not going to start this morning, I'm going to close. I haven't got anywhere near where I thought we would get this morning. But we've got to understand that though we are Christians, we can think with the unsaved mind. What I'm asking you this morning to give some thought is your thought life, is your mind born again? Or do you think the way the world thinks? Because if you do, you're subject to what they get. If you're born again, as I've said, you're a new creation. And that means your thinking is renewed according to the life of God in Christ Jesus that's inside of us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. I want to tell you, dwelling inside of you and me that are born again believers is dunamis. That's what the Bible says. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and I'm talking about salvation. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be endued with power from on high. And you shall be my witnesses to all the earth. What? What? How can we do that? Because we're not who we were. We're empowered. You will never serve God. You will never reach the lost. You will never witness to the unsaved until you renew your mind. Because your old way of thinking says, I could never do that. I'm shy. But there's a soul in the clutches of Satan where I was once, till somebody came and told me. And I thought I knew it all. I thought I was smart. I thought I was well educated. I thought I had a great knowledge and a grip of the world. And I was doing pretty good, thank you very much. But I was living where they were living, thinking where they were thinking, experiencing the consequences that they were experiencing when difficulties came. And I want to tell you, I'm a new creation today, and I know it. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. And it starts with my thinking. And that affects my walk. That affects my talk. That affects my attitude. That affects my relationship with anyone and everyone. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. Thank you, Lord. With these words, I'm going to close. God has not given me the spirit of fear, nor will I ever accept it from anybody. But what I do have is a spirit of power. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I simply believe it. Like Brother Ken, I believe that. I have no logic for that. Logic can't come into my world. Logic belongs to the carnal world. Reason belongs to the carnal world. Reason can never understand that God so loved mankind that he gave his own son. Can't take that. Ask them if they'd give their child to somebody. Now, when they think of the two, that's impossible. That couldn't be. But that's God. God so loved the world that he gave. Praise God. He gave. What did he give? He gave us power. His power. He gave us what? Love. His love. And because of that power, I know who I am. I believe I can do all things through Christ. I believe that. I don't know how to do it. I don't know the answers. But I know what that does mean. It means I walk by faith and not by sight. It means I talk faith and not unbelief. It means I think faith, i.e. the Word of God. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And not the way the world does. And that's the difference. And when you and I live that way, others start to see the change in us. But the first person to see the change is you. You no longer panic the same way you did. What comes out of your mouth is praise God. Praise God. That's a good starting point. But they're the sort of words that come out instead of panic. Praise God. And start declaring just simply how good your God is, how great your Savior is. The Holy Spirit is alive in you. Start declaring that God can do all things through Christ, and therefore you can. Things will change. All that I've said, and I'm closing with this, all of that I've said is predicated based upon this one thing, that you have faith to believe it. If you don't believe it, you never got saved if you didn't believe that God was God. That was the starting point. God is God. I can't work it out. I remember just after I was saved, like most of us, I guess, I would lie in my bed. I was living on my own in the Midlands of England, and I'd go to bed, and I'd read the scriptures, and I'd lie there after I'd read. And I found as a young Christian, my mind going, well, who made God? Who made God? I guess we've all had that. Who made him? I couldn't justify that. And you know, it was years later on that I realized my acceptance of God, being God, even though I had a real problem with where did he come from, what was before it. Of course, the Bible's silent. Yet still I believed him. I realized many years later on that was my victory. I could believe the impossible. I could believe the unbelievable to the carnal mind. Somehow by the Holy Spirit's help who would come into me, I was able to start acting like he's God. It doesn't matter what people say, what the circumstances are, he is God. His words cannot fail because he's God. Hallelujah. I have so much evidence today because my Savior, who the devil came, took his life from him, put him in a grave, but rose again. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for my God. But we have to think that way continually. Knowing the word, speaking the word will never deliver you. Believing it, doing it, thinking it will always deliver you.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps and blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.